The 2002 Winter Olympic Games begin tonight, with NBC broadcasting the opening ceremonies live from Salt Lake City. From now through February 25th, NBC will present live coverage nightly, with additional coverage provided by CNBC and MSNBC. TV critic David Bianculli has some thoughts about how technology and terrorism have affected this year's games.
One of my regular complaints about TV's coverage of the Olympic Games has been how annoyingly jingoistic it gets. Back when Jim McKay was reporting from the Olympics in the 60s and 70s for ABC, that network presented more of a feeling of discovery and of international unity. Sure, it was great to cheer the United States on to victory. The hockey team's 1980 upset win against the Soviet team at the height of the Cold War was a classic TV sports event. But back then, TV seemed to take pride in the accomplishments of others as well. We heard more national anthems from other winning countries and learned almost as much about their athletes, up close and personal, as we did our own. As different networks and personnel took on the Olympics, things changed. CBS, by and large, favored an America-first approach in a very heavy-handed way when it broadcast the Olympics. NBC, with such loser ideas as the pay-per-view triple cast, spread itself too thinly and cared about other countries and their athletes too little. NBC has the Olympics again this year, and with what happened on September 11th, patriotism, as well as international unity, are bound to be front and center throughout the games. At the last Olympics, the touching highlight of the opening ceremonies was Muhammad Ali lighting the Olympic torch. At this Olympics, it'll be tough to top the 8 U.S. athletes who are scheduled to carry a torn and battered American flag, the one recovered from Ground Zero days after the attack on the World Trade Center. Context at these games will be everything. There's not only the patriotism to consider, but the terrorism. And not just regarding the pipe bomb in Atlanta, but going all the way back to the terrorist attack on Israeli athletes in Munich at the 1972 Summer Games. This is NBC's first shot at broadcasting the Winter Games, and Bob Costas, who's really good, will serve as host. But in what I consider a fabulous acknowledgement that history and perspective are important at these games, NBC has hired as a special contributor Jim McKay, on loan from ABC. McKay, now 80 years old, reported from Munich that awful year, and his presence in the studio with Costas is one reason to give NBC and this year's coverage the benefit of the doubt. Another reason is that NBC is trying its triple cast idea again, but this time without asking viewers to pay for it. In addition to the primetime coverage every night on NBC, Olympic coverage will be available day and night on CNBC and MSNBC. If you want to see early round hockey games or follow the U.S. curling team, NBC's sister cable networks are the places to go. Don't laugh about curling, by the way. At the last Olympics, while David Letterman was making fun of it on CBS, I was watching it on the CBC, Canada's national network, and got hooked on it. While many Winter Olympic events are billed quite properly as the original extreme sports, curling, if anything, is extremely slow. It's like shuffleboard on ice, with team members furiously sweeping with brooms to decrease the friction as the heavy stones sail slowly towards their targets. On Canadian TV, the commentators get into curling in a big way, and so do the athletes, who are mic'd and who scream at the curling stones and each other during each shot. Here's Sanda Schmirler launching a stone for Canada during the 1998 games.
And of course, Sandra Schmirler is a three-time world champion. She won in Geneva in 1993, in Oppersdorf, Germany in 1994, and last year in Bern, Switzerland, defeating Dordi Nordby in the final. And in her second game today, she will face her Norwegian opponent.
Now you hear Jan Bettger yelling, "Line's fine, it's just a question of her weight." They have to go hard on it to get it close to being shot rock. Oh, and just about a foot and a half short. Beautiful line.
Shoot.
Schmirler in Canada won the gold that year, but the three-time world champion died of cancer 2 years ago. As it rebuilds and tries to defend its gold medal, the Canadian women's curling team has a dramatic story to tell. On one of the cable networks, at least, I hope to be able to see it. And that's a good thing, because one of the technological innovations since the last Olympics has robbed me of my ability to watch the CBC on my giant satellite dish. The signal went digital, but I didn't, so I'm stuck watching NBC alone. Oh well. At least there's one technological advancement NBC is adding to the games that's an instant winner. You know those virtual reality first down yard markers the networks superimpose electronically onto the field during football games? Well, NBC has taken that same gimmick and using it for the first time on ski jumps. As the skiers approach the ground, we'll know where they have to land to win and can see it as it happens. The as it happens part, by the way, may be the most involving part of these games. Because the events are held in this country, most events can be broadcast live, rather than taped and edited hours beforehand, which is what made NBC's coverage from Japan so irritating last time. So with the time zone advantage, the ski jump line, the multiple networks, the tattered flag, and Jim McKay, the 2002 Olympic Winter Games are setting themselves up nicely. Now it's up to the athletes, and the broadcasters, and ultimately, the American TV audience.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Daily News.